أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Tashahud, Ta'awuz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalif Masih V, Ayyadahul Ta'ala ibn al-Aziz stated, accounts relating to the siege of the Banu Qurayza fortress during the Battle of the Confederates was being discussed. It was mentioned that they had broken their pact during the battle and that they ought to be punished for trying to cause harm to the Muslims and for their treachery. Further details in relation to this are as follows. When the siege intensified, the Banu Qurayza exited their fortresses upon the verdict of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are various narrations with regards to how many days the siege of the Banu Qurayza lasted. Some narrations state 10 days, others mention 15 days, some state 14 days, and yet others state 25 days. Considering the various historical narrations in relation to its dates, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib radiallahu anhu has said that the duration of this siege was approximately 20 days. Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh was made the arbiter in this verdict. The details of this are that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the Jews to be imprisoned, upon which they were tied with ropes. This task was supervised by Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama. The women and children were also taken out of the fortress and taken to one side. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Salam was appointed to take care of them. All their belongings in the fortress were collected, such as their weapons, clothes, and other belongings, etc. Inside they found 1,500 swords, 300 pieces of armor, 2,000 spears, 1,500 leather shields, and many other items. They also found many utensils, vessels of wine, and other intoxicating items, which were discarded. They also found many camels and other animals, which were all collected. Prominent people of the Aus tribe went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Banu Qurayza are our allies, and even our allies are ashamed and troubled due to their treachery. Therefore, forgive them for our sake. The Holy Prophet ﷺ sat in silence, and the people of the Aus tribe became insistent. Eventually, the entire tribe arrived and started pleading. Upon this, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, will you be satisfied if one of your own is entrusted with the task of passing a verdict in relation to them? Everyone replied, yes, indeed. The Holy Prophet then said, this matter is entrusted to Sa'd bin Mu'adh. In another narration, this incident has been recorded in the following manner. The Holy Prophet said, "Choose whomsoever you please from among my companions." Subsequently, they chose Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh. The Holy Prophet agreed to this. Hazrat Sa'd was a chief of the tribe of the Aws and an ally of the Banu Qurayza. And so, the people of the tribe of Aws were not only satisfied, but were happy, as they believed that the matter had now fallen into their own hands. And it was an Arab custom to support one's allies. However, divine will had decreed for something else, and the pure and sincere heart of Hazrat Sa'd was inclined towards giving precedence to God and His Messenger over all relations. At the time, Hazrat Sa'd was in the tent of Rufaida Aslamiyah at the mosque in Medina. She would treat the wounded and had a tent inside the mosque. The Holy Prophet ﷺ had Hazrat Sa'd stay in this tent so that his treatment could be supervised and he could easily be tended to as he was injured. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ entrusted the matter to Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh, the tribe of Aws went to him, mounted him on a donkey whose saddle was made of palm bark covered with leather, and its reins were made from palm fibers. Hazrat Sa'd was a heavy and well-built man. The people gathered round Hazrat Sa'd and said, "O Abu Amr, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has entrusted you with the matter of the allies of Aws, so that you may deal kindly with them. So please show them mercy." As more people gathered, Hazrat Sa'd remained silent. However, when the insistence grew, he said, "Now is the time that I need not fear any reproach when fulfilling the command of Allah the Almighty." Hazrat Sa'd came to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and people were also gathered around him. According to Bukhari and Muslim, when he came near the mosque where the Holy Prophet ﷺ was present, which had been prepared for prayers during the siege of Banu Qurayza, upon seeing him, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "Stand up to honor your leader." In another narration, it is said that the Holy Prophet stated, "Stand up for the most excellent of men among you." The people of Banu Abd al-Ashhal say, "We stood in two rows for Hazrat Sa'd. Each one of us welcomed him until he reached before the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Sa'd, decide among them." Hazrat Sa'd replied, "Allah and His Messenger are more deserving of giving a verdict." The Holy Prophet said, "Indeed, Allah has commanded you to make the decision regarding them." The people of Aws said, "O Abu Amr, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has entrusted you with the decision concerning your confederates. So please treat them kindly and consider their plight." Hazrat Sa'd asked, "Will you be satisfied with my decision regarding the Banu Qurayza?" They replied, "Yes. We were content with your decision even in your absence." I.e., they had proposed his name in his absence. "You are fully authorized to make the decision, and we hope you will show mercy to us, just as another individual had done for his allies, the Banu Qainqa. We prefer you, and today we are in most need of your judgment." Hazrat Saad responded, "I will make every effort." They asked, "What do you mean by this?" Hazrat Saad replied, "I ask you by Allah's covenant, will my decision be binding?" He asked them once again to seek their confirmation from them, and they confirmed, "Yes." Then Hazrat Saad turned to where the Holy Prophet was seated. Out of respect of the honor and lofty status of the Holy Prophet, he did not directly address him and instead submitted, "Do those people on this side also make this pledge?" i.e. indicating towards the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet ﷺ and the people with him affirmed, "Yes." Hazrat Saad then announced, "I decree that the adult men among them be executed, their women and children be taken as captives, and their wealth be divided. Their homes should be given to the Muhajireen, not the Ansar." The Ansar objected, "But we are their brothers. We were with them." Hazrat Saad replied, "I want them to become independent of you. That is so that the Muhajireen can manage their affairs easily." The Holy Prophet said, "Saad, your decision is in accordance with a judgment that Allah decreed in the seven heavens." In one narration, it is mentioned that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said about Hazrat Saad's judgment, "This is the decision that the angel informed me about at the time of Sihri." Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib has elaborated on this incident in further details. After a siege of more or less 20 days, these ill-fated Jews agreed to descend from their fortresses to be judged by the verdict of such a man who, despite being their confederate, found no mercy in his heart due to their evil schemes. And despite being an epitome of justice and equity, he did not possess the same compassion and tenderness at the heart as was present in the man who was a mercy for all of mankind. The details are that the Aus tribe were old allies of the Banu Qurayza, and at the time, Saad bin Mu'adh was a chieftain of this tribe. He had been wounded in the Battle of the Ditch and was now under medical treatment in the veranda of the mosque in Medina. Saad arrived mounted on an animal, and on the way, a few people from the Aus tribe persistently pleaded that we are allies of the Qurayza. Just as the Khazraj dealt with their ally tribe, the Banu Qainqa, with mercy, you also deal with the Qurayza leniently. Do not give them a harsh punishment. At first, Saad listened to their plea silently. But when they became overly persistent, he responded, "This is the time when Saad shall not care for the reproach of anyone who raises an objection." Upon hearing this response, the people took to silence. When Saad drew near, the Holy Prophet ﷺ instructed his companions, "Qumu ila sayyidikum," meaning, "Stand for your chieftain and assist him in dismounting." When Saad dismounted and moved towards the Holy Prophet, he said, "Saad, the Banu Qurayza have accepted you as their arbitrator, and they have agreed to abide by whatever verdict you may deem fit." Upon this, Saad lifted his sights towards the people of his own tribe, the Aus, and said, "Alaykum bithalika ahdullahi wa mithaquhu, innal hukma fihim bima hakamtu." Do you take God as your witness and make a firm promise that you shall be bound to act upon the verdict I issue with regards to the Banu Qurayza? "Yes, we promise," said the people. Then he made a gesture in the direction where the Holy Prophet was seated and said, "Wa ala man hahuna," meaning, does the honorable man who is seated here also promise that he shall be bound to act upon my verdict? The Holy Prophet ﷺ responded, yes, I promise. After this covenant and agreement had been confirmed, Sa'd announced his verdict. The combatant men of the Banu Qurayza would be executed. Their women and children would be taken captive, and their wealth would be distributed amongst the Muslims. When the Holy Prophet heard this verdict, he spontaneously said, لَقَدْ حَكَمْتَ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ, meaning your verdict is a divine decree. In other words, this was a decree that could not be overruled. The meaning of these words was that the verdict relevant to the Banu Qurayza took place in such circumstances that divine power could be seen clearly working at the center of the affairs. And for this reason, feelings of mercy held by the Holy Prophet could not prevent this outcome. This was true indeed, because the Banu Qurayza requested that Abu Lubaba be sent to them. And then such words slipped his tongue that were completely without foundation. Consequently, the Banu Qurayza refused to accept the Holy Prophet ﷺ as their judge, and under the assumption that the Aus tribe would deal leniently with them as they were allies, appointed Sa'd bin Mu'az, the chief of the Aus tribe, as the arbitrator. Furthermore, Sa'd became so resolute in the matter of justice and equity that feelings of relation and alliance were wiped out of his heart completely. Moreover, before announcing his verdict, Sa'd took a firm promise from the Holy Prophet to affirm that this decision would be administered in full. All of these things could not have been a coincidence. Verily, at the base of these events was a divine decree, and this verdict was that of God, not Sa'd's. Regarding the implementation of Sa'd bin Mu'az's decision, it is further recorded that once Sa'd has made his ruling, the Holy Prophet returned to Medina on Thursday, 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. Another narration states that he returned on the 5th of Dhul-Hijjah. While Ibn Sa'd writes that he arrived back in Medina on 7th Dhul-Hijjah, which also fell on a Thursday. The prisoners were ordered to be brought to Medina in compliance with the Holy Prophet's instructions. The captives were taken to the residence of Hazrat Usama bin Zayd, while the women and children were placed in the home of Hazrat Ramla bint Harith. It is also reported that all captives were confined in the house of Hazrat Ramla bint Harith. The Holy Prophet ordered that dates be brought in for them, and the dates were scattered all over the ground because of the large quantities. The Jews ate plentifully throughout the night. The Holy Prophet also ordered that their weapons, provisions, clothing, and other belongings be taken to Hazrat Ramla's house, while the camels and goats were left grazing under the tree nearby. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib writes, it seems that due to the treachery, treason, rebellion, sedition, disorder, murder, and bloodshed of the Banu Qurayza, the verdict had already been issued by the Heavenly Court of Justice that their combatant members should be expunged from the face of the earth. The divine instruction initially given to the Holy Prophet ﷺ regarding this battle also establishes that this was a divine decree. However, God did not wish for this verdict to be issued by His Messenger, and for this reason kept the Holy Prophet completely separate through immensely intricate manifestations of his power. And had this verdict announced by Sa'd bin Mu'az. Moreover, this announcement was made in such a manner that the Holy Prophet could no longer influence the decision, because he had already promised that he would abide by the verdict in full. Some opponents raise allegations against the Holy Prophet and at times poison the minds of our youth by saying that the Holy Prophet ﷺ committed a grave injustice against the Banu Qurayza. This is a clear response to them that this decision was not made by the Holy Prophet. Rather, this decision was made by one of the companions, and at that, Allah the Almighty ensured it was a companion who was in fact an ally of the Banu Qurayza and had taken a solemn oath from the Holy Prophet. Nonetheless, since the influence of his decision was not limited to the person of the Holy Prophet alone, rather affected all of the Muslims collectively, the Holy Prophet did not consider it his right to change this verdict by his own opinion, irrespective of how heavily it may have leaned towards mercy and forgiveness. It was this divine power which moved the Holy Prophet to spontaneously utter the words, "Laqad hakamta bihukmillah." O Sa'd, your verdict seems to be a divine decree, which no one has the power to alter. Upon saying these words, the Holy Prophet quietly stood up and returned to the city. At the time, his heart was grieved with the thought that a nation which he greatly hoped would embrace Islam was being deprived of faith and being sentenced to divine wrath and chastisement due to their evil deeds. It was perhaps on this occasion that the Holy Prophet uttered the following words with intense regret. لو آمن بي عشرة من اليهود لآمن بي اليهود. Meaning, if only 10 men, i.e. 10 influential men, had believed in me, I would have hoped to God that this entire nation would accept me and would have been saved from divine punishment. When the Holy Prophet was leaving, he instructed that the men be separated from the women and children of the Banu Qurayza. Hence, both these groups were brought into Medina separately and were gathered at two separate locations. In line with the instruction of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, the companions, many of whom perhaps remained hungry themselves, arranged for a large quantity of fruit to be brought to the Banu Qurayza for their consumption. It is written that the Jewish tribe spent the entire night eating fruit. The following morning, the Holy Prophet commanded for the trenches to be dug in a marketplace in Medina, extending to the house of Abu Hajim Adawi in Ajaru Zayd. The Holy Prophet, accompanied by several companions, arrived at the site. He summoned the men of the Banu Qurayza, who were brought out in groups, and each group was executed by the trench. While being led away, the men turned to Ka'b bin Asad, asking, "What do you think Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, is about to do?" Ka'b replied, "That which will be disagreeable to you." May you be ruined. No matter the circumstances, you do not come to understand. The one who summons you will not spare you, and the one who dies does not return. I swear by God that only the sword awaits you now, i.e. there is no escape from death. I had called you to a different course, yet you refused. The Jews began to murmur among themselves. There is no time for anger. If we had listened to you, we would not have broken our covenant with Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah. Huyay bin Akhtab stated, "Enough of this lamenting. Now nothing will save us. Be prepared to endure the sword." Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Zubair bin Al-Awwam were tasked with overseeing the execution of the Jews. And according to some narrations, various companions were assigned the task of carrying out the individual executions. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib has detailed the incident as follows. The following day, in the morning, the verdict of Sa'd was to be put into effect. The Holy Prophet appointed a few able men to perform this task and stood close by so that if guidance was required while the verdict was being administered, the Holy Prophet could provide immediate guidance. Another reason was so that he could instantly provide a decision if anyone appealed for mercy. although the verdict of Sa'd could not be appealed against in general, but in his capacity as a king or chief executive of a democracy, the Holy Prophet definitely had the right to hear an appeal with respect to a specific person on individual grounds. As an act of compassion, the Holy Prophet also ordered that criminals should be executed separately from one another, i.e. when one was being executed, the other should not be present nearby. Thus, every criminal was brought separately and executed according to the verdict of Sa'd. When Huyay bin Akhtab, chief of the Banu Nadir, was brought for execution, he looked to the Holy Prophet and said, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do not regret having opposed you. However, the truth is that he who abandons God is abandoned by God. Then he looked to the people and said, Nothing can be done in the face of God's command. This is His command and His decree. When Ka'b bin Asad, the chief of the Qurayza, was brought to be executed, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam urged him through gestures to embrace Islam. He responded, O Abul Qasim, I would have accepted, but people will say that I have become afraid of death. Let me die upon the Jewish religion. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib further writes, Another Jew by the name of Rifa'a humbly implored a soft-hearted Muslim lady to intercede on his behalf so that he may be spared. The Holy Prophet forgave Rifa'a due to the intercession of this Muslim lady. Hence, the Holy Prophet ﷺ forgave anyone for whom a plea of mercy was sought, which is evidence of the fact that the Holy Prophet was compelled by the verdict of Sa'd. Otherwise, his heart was not inclined to execute the Jews. This is a clear answer to the allegation that the Holy Prophet ﷺ was unjust. The execution of the men of the Banu Qurayza continued in this way until the Holy Prophet ﷺ had completed the task. The execution lasted until the evening. Then the trenches were filled with dirt. All of this took place in the presence of Hazrat Sa'd bin Mu'adh. Allah the Almighty accepted his prayer and granted coolness to his eyes. According to historical accounts, Nabata was the only one from among the women to be executed. She was the wife of a man named Hakam from the Banu Qurayza. She had thrown a rock upon Hazrat Khalad, who was resting, sitting on the wall of the Banu Qurayza's fortresses, resulting in his martyrdom. She was subsequently executed in recompense for this murder. However, there are some historians who disagree with this account. They are of the opinion that certain narrations regarding the Banu Nadir and Khaybar have become mixed with this incident, and due to certain circumstantial evidence, they do not believe the incident of this woman's execution to be true, and Allah knows best. There is also mention of the incident of Rihana bint Zayd Nazriya, the woman and children from Banu Qurayza who had been captured were distributed among the Muslims of Medina. Among them was a woman from the Banu Nadir named Rihana bint Zayd, who was married to a man named Hakam from the Banu Qurayza. The Holy Prophet ﷺ had selected her for himself. According to some, she accepted Islam, while others say that the Holy Prophet kept her as a slave girl. There are also those who say that the Holy Prophet married her. There are various narrations. The reality will become clear further along. When these narrations are studied, it becomes evident that historians have been mistaken in this matter. Firstly, this narration contradicts the reality of events and is weak. Even if there is any truth to this narration, then only in the fact that the Holy Prophet freed her and she returned to her parents' home, where she would eventually pass away. If, for the sake of conversation, this narration was deemed to be true, then the Holy Prophet would have married her, not kept her as a slave girl. On the subject of the false incident regarding Rehana, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib details. Various historians write that one person from among the prisoners of the Banu Qurayza was a lady named Rehana, and the Holy Prophet ﷺ kept her as a slave girl for himself. It is on the basis of this very narration that Sir William Muir has raised a very hurtful allegation against the Holy Prophet ﷺ. However, in actual fact, this narration is absolutely false and baseless. Firstly, the narration of Sahih al-Bukhari, which has been quoted above, in which it has been stated that the Holy Prophet distributed the prisoners of the Banu Qurayza amongst the companions, disproves this narration. If the Holy Prophet ﷺ had selected a female prisoner for himself, naturally, this would have been mentioned in the narration of Bukhari at this occasion. However, even the slightest indication has not been made to this effect in Bukhari. In addition to this, other authentic narrations clearly prove that Rehana was among those prisoners who the Holy Prophet ﷺ released as an act of benevolence. And after this, Rehana left Medina and went to the home of her parents, i.e. the Banu Nazir, and continued to reside there. Allama Ibn Hajar, who is among the most illustrious of research scholars, states that this latter narration is correct. However, even if it is accepted that the Holy Prophet took Rehana into his own guardianship, she definitely lived there as a wife, not a slave girl. However, as for those historians who have related that the Holy Prophet took her into his own guardianship, most have also explicitly elucidated that the Holy Prophet freed her and then married her. Ibn Sa'd has transmitted a narration related by Rehana herself in which she states that the Holy Prophet freed me and then after I accepted Islam, he married me. My dowry was set at 12 okia, i.e. 40 dirhams. In comparison to this narration, Ibn Sa'd has declared that the other narration, which Sir William Muir has based his conclusion on as being categorically false and contrary to the truth, and has further written that this is the opinion of those who possess knowledge. Hence, first and foremost, as substantiated by the narration of Bukhari, and the same has been expounded in Isaba, the Holy Prophet did not take Rehana under his guardianship in the first place. Rather, he set her free, after which she returned to her family and began to live with them. Secondly, even if the narration is accepted that the Holy Prophet did in fact take her into his own supervision, even in this case, the Holy Prophet ﷺ freed her and then married her, but did not keep her as a slave girl, as some historians have taken from her own account. To what extent that is correct, only Allah knows. Furthermore, it should also be remembered that with respect to the name, genealogy, tribe, etc. of Rehana, there is such diverse contradictions within various narrations that it would perhaps not be unreasonable to doubt the very existence of her person altogether, especially when it is taken into account that she is said to be the wife of a person who is definitely the most well-documented historical figure in the world, and Allah knows best. The details regarding the distribution of spoils of war are that when the spoils were gathered, the Holy Prophet ﷺ separated the dates and distributed them. There were 36 horses in this expedition. Each horse would have two shares, one for the riders and one for those who were on foot. 1,000 women and children were taken captive. Before distributing the spoils, the Holy Prophet took out the khums, i.e. a fifth reserved for Allah and His Messenger. The prisoners were distributed into five parts, and one part was taken as khums. Of that part, the Holy Prophet would free some, grant some as gifts, and employ others. Similarly, the Holy Prophet also took khums out from the dates and out of everything before distributing it. The distribution of each thing would be determined by a draw. Whatever portion from that draw came into the khums would be taken by the Holy Prophet, and he appointed Hazrat Mahmiya bin Jazar Zubaydi to oversee the khums. The remaining four parts would be distributed. The Holy Prophet also granted spoils to those women who were present during the battle. These women included Hazrat Safiya bint Abdul Muttalib, Hazrat Amara, Hazrat Salid, Hazrat Ala Ansariya, Hazrat Sumaira bin Qais, Hazrat Saad bin Muaz, and Hazrat Qabsha bint Rafi. The Holy Prophet وسلم, sent Hazrat Saad bin Ubadah with a caravan to Syria with the wealth obtained as khums, including the prisoners and other things, in order to trade them for weapons and horses. According to one narration, Hazrat Usman bin Affan and Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf bought a share from the khums. However, there is also the opinion that all the prisoners were kept in Medina and they were not sent anywhere else. Then, over time, the Holy Prophet would free them out of his mercy. After a deep study of various historical sources, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib writes, in line with the verdict of Saad, the women and children had been taken captive. It is ascertained from various narrations that the Holy Prophet sent them towards Najd. Some of the tribes that were situated here paid their ransom and obtained their release. The Muslims utilized this money to purchase weapons and horses for their own defense. If this was indeed the case, it should not come as a surprise, because the tribes of Najd and the Banu Qurayza were allies. Prior to the Battle of Qurayza, they had fought together in the Battle of the Confederates. As a matter of fact, it was due to the incitement of the people of Najd that the Banu Qurayza raised up the flag of rebellion against the Holy Prophet ﷺ in the first place. Thus, if the Najdis obtained the release of the prisoners of Banu Qurayza from the Muslims, this is nothing out of the ordinary. However, authentic narrations disclose that these prisoners remained in Medina. And according to the custom, the Holy Prophet ﷺ distributed them into the guardianship of various companions. Afterwards, some of them paid the value of their ransom and obtained freedom. Others were released by the Holy Prophet as an act of benevolence. In time, these people gradually became Muslim at their own will. History records the names of Atiyah Quraydi, Abdurrahman bin Zubair bin Batiyah, Ka'b bin Sulaym, and in particular Muhammad bin Ka'b. Who later became a Muslim of great standing. Whether these women in captivity were distributed or sold, the Holy Prophet ﷺ delivered a verdict on this occasion which shows the vastness of his mercy and his great kindness towards women, which is worthy of being written in golden words. The Holy Prophet stated that any woman who is distributed or obtained at a ransom, if they had a small child, then the child must not be separated from the mother until it had reached the age of maturity. Similarly, if there are two young sisters, they must not be separated until they reach the age of maturity. This was the conduct of the mercy of all peoples and his kindness towards women and even prisoners and opponents. However, the state of the Muslims today is that in the name of Allah and His Messenger, they are expelling people from their homes and killing them. As a consequence of this, the Muslims are losing their respect and honor. May Allah the Almighty grant wisdom and understanding to the Muslims.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله إبعاد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.